But let's get to our factoids. It's NFL Factoid Tuesday. Haven't done one of these in a minute. Let's start with the fun annual tradition of welcome back to the dance. We have six teams.
Hey.
Can you name all six?
The six new playoff teams?
The six new playoff teams.
Chicago.
Boom.
Jacksonville.
Boom.
Carolina.
Correctamundo.
New England.
Yes.
Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Yes.
Thank you. What are we up to? Five? Who are we missing? Who's the last one?
Cinco. Who is Sace?
Who did not make it last year?
Think of my face.
49ers!
Hey!
How'd you do that? That's right. They didn't make it last year. I forgot about that.
Six teams qualified for the playoffs after missing the postseason last year. Since 1990, a streak of 36 consecutive seasons, at least four teams every season have qualified for the playoffs after failing to make it the year before.
It's one of the biggest calling cards of the NFL, is that a turn around the corner is not that far away. I gave the stat yesterday, and we can throw it into factoids, too. First time we've ever had in the NFL, two teams in 1 year go from 13 losses to 13 wins. Both Jacksonville and New England did it.
It's a great story.
Remarkable stuff that nobody would have predicted in the middle of the summer.
We had a listener tag us in a poll done. I don't know the validity or the amount of people polled, but polled of like sports interests in America. And soccer actually came ahead of baseball.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if I truly buy that given the numbers we saw at the World Series. We'll never see those numbers in MLS. But what I will say is this. It used to be hope springs eternal for that sport. Fall springs eternal at this point now
for everybody. I would say summer
is eternal.
Summer springs eternal because that's kind of when you show back up to camp.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there you go.
Season's beginning. Guys are back.
Because it's
out.
The truest thing. Like,
yes.
The amount of turnover they have in that sport makes everybody, even if you're down on your team going in, feel like there's a little bit of hope.
We got a chance here, man.
Carolina, Chicago, New England. Won division titles this season after finishing last or tied for last in their divisions last year. In 20 of the past 23 seasons, at least one team finished in first place in its division the season after finishing in last place.
That's remarkable.
The year prior.
Play that fun game at some point of look at the standings this year and who are the division winners that you got.
I'm glad you did that because I want to play that game with you real quick.
Obviously, not knowing offseason moves makes it hard.
Browns,
yeah, Jets, Browns,
Titans, Raiders are in the AFC. Giants, Lions.
Yeah, Lions is the easy bet there.
Saints, Cardinals.
Saints or Lions?
I think Saints or Lions, too, if I was to have to pick one.
Lions are the easy bet. Lions finishing, and look, they're 9-8. They're not like all the other last place teams because all the other ones really, really suck. They're above 500. But then finish, like, just imagine saying that in July. The Lions would be in last place in the NFC North at the end of the year.
I take your arm, and I bend it behind your back, and I push up, you know, the make you say uncle move.
Uncle!
You have to pick an AFC team that does this. Which one do you pick?
By the way, the other one that I would throw out there, I think the Giants, look, Dart, if he stays healthy, like, I could see that. You make the right hire a coach, you got a good defensive line.
Okay.
I can envision that Neighbors should be back and healthy.
AFC. He says Cleveland.
You have a defense. All if,
do you?
Yeah.
You do?
I think.
You seen him on the road?
I think you do.
Over Cam Ward, who Dirt says sucks and will never be good. Raiders certainly don't.
I'm yelling, Uncle.
The Raiders, I don't. And not the Jets.
I am not picking the Jets.
I hate that I agree with Sweat. I think I would go Cleveland, too. And for no, I got nothing. No logic behind it. Tennessee seems so bad, and their ownership is so. All of these teams have that.
I just don't see the Jaguars and Texans fall that much.
Did you see the Jags falling up all this much? You did not.
No, we did not. No, we did not.
Anything is possible. I'm not laughing at anything you predict next year.
The reason
hand
I will,
to God, I will not.
Yeah, you can't do it in the NFL
can't
anymore.
Can't do this anymore.
I had my Jags preseason division winner ticket a couple of years ago when they hired Peterson after being the worst team in the league. Like, funny things. And sometimes the other thing I'd say for Cleveland is. if you tell me that division is wonky again, I could see it. Like,
yeah,
Pittsburgh,
Rodgers
is Rodgers back? It doesn't matter. They're the same team every year.
Is Baltimore
what do they look like?
Reinvent themselves.
They're going to win 9 to 10 games.
Sure.
Is what
Cincinnati's offense will be great, and their defense will probably still be ass. They're the same team.
Cheap ownership.
I mean, you only have to improve. If you 10 wins wins the division again, you only have to improve.
I'm not picking the Raiders to go from number one pick and getting through Mahomes at some point, Herbert and Bo Nix, number one seed in the AFC.
Right.
And I look at the East, I'm like, New England's not going anywhere. They might not make the playoffs.
Buffalo
shouldn't go anywhere with Josh Allen. You're not jumping up and winning that division.
All right, last one, and then we'll carry some of the ones that I have over. There have been 61 games this season with a game-winning score coming in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter or in overtime. That's the second most in a single season in NFL history.
It's a hell of a year, man. Parity was on display, and I think it'll be on display come playoff time again. There's not one runaway freight train elite team. I think it's very similar to college football this year, where you got a handful of teams that got a crack at it, and matchups and when you play people might end up being the determining factor of how far you go.
Most people have grandfather clocks to indicate top of hours. I have the witching hour in my house.
Yes,
when those wins become losses and those losses become wins,
your parlays are blowing up right in front of your face. No better feeling, man.
Dude, live betting during the witching hour is amazing. Whether you win or lose, that's a feeling that you cannot describe.
You see our guy Scott Hansen cry at the end of Sunday?
Why?
He teared up. He was just like, I'm going to miss you guys, man.
Yeah.
No more red zone until August or September.
Who scored their 1,000th touchdown on the Red Zone channel? Can you name the player? This is a fun little side trivia question that I know the answer to.
Their 1,000th touchdown?
This weekend, they had the 1,000th touchdown
score. Oh, on the red zone. I'm like, somebody scored 1,000 touchdowns? What? That's a lot. There should not be a record. That had to have been later in the day, I'd imagine. I don't know, actually.
Yeah, it was. It was okay. In the PM window.
Give me...
I'll give you a good hint.
Yeah, give me a hint.
Really good player.
Did Trey McBride score a touchdown this weekend?
That's a good guess.
Okay, I'm going to afternoon
Well, I don't
window.
Know if he did score a touchdown, but it wasn't him.
That wasn't on the red zone.
Well, they are all in the red zone.
Looking at Sunday Night Football. Sunday Night Football wasn't on the red zone.
No, it wasn't.
It was not. I got nothing.
Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs scored the 1,000th touchdown on the red zone channel.
Nice win for Detroit to end the year. Very similar to how they ended a couple years ago.
It was like the Green Bay game.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah. You know they're going to fight all the way to the end.
All right. More NFL factoids around the corner on 105.1 The Fan. Is this player locally doing what we always hoped a former legend would do? Talk about that at 7 a.m. We'll dive into college football. We'll talk Oregon, Indiana today. Got some Bryce Betcher audio.
Yeah, but getting ready to go. I think they're in the air right now. They're on their way.
Yeah, the brand man came in yesterday and was like, see you guys later. I'll see you next week.
Down to ATL, Shote.
So we'll get into that. Bill Conley coming up at 7:30. Let's wrap up some of our factoids here on a Tuesday. There we go. I need that.
You got to have the music.
I had to have
you
that
You can't
music.
Give the factoids without music.
Aaron Rodgers' late touchdown was his first go-ahead touchdown in the final minute of regulation since 2017 at Dallas. This one kind of surprised me. He now has 11 seasons with 10 or more wins, breaking a tie with Brett Favre for the third most by a starting quarterback all time. Only trails Brady and Manning.
I don't know why I should have known this, but maybe he's been such a constant in our media lives where we talk so much about him. Them going over how long it's been since he's been in the playoffs kind of blew my mind. And then I sat back and I'm like, that shouldn't blow my mind, but he's such a topic of conversation year-round in the NFL world. I'm like, man, it's been a long time because his last year in Green Bay didn't go. They lost the last game. Obviously, the 2 years of the Jet, it's been a minute since Aaron Rodgers has been in the playoffs.
Since 2019, when Lamar Jackson became the full-time starter for the Ravens, Baltimore has lost 14 games in which they held double-digit leads, which is the most by any team in that span.
Yeesh, that's not a good number to have associated with your name, although not all of it's his fault. His kicker missed a field goal.
Double-digit leads is partially, can we close this thing out, defense?
Yeah, how about we get a stop maybe? Derrick Henry doesn't fumble late. That could help a little bit.
Sunday was only Denver's second win without having trailed one time in a game, which is tied with Carolina for the fewest of any of the playoff teams.
It's interesting. I saw number two on their pressure rate allowed. Denver has the best offensive line in the NFL by a lot of metrics this year. Mm-hmm. The Chargers are the only team all year who has been able to get over a 40% pressure rate on Bo Nix.
That's the
they
key,
did
man.
It the first time earlier in the year,
yep.
And they did it this weekend. I mean, it didn't matter this weekend because they weren't playing anybody on offense mainly. But they found some sort of recipe, and that might be a second-round matchup potentially down the line, so something to keep an eye on.
Seahawks in Denver finished the regular season with negative turnover differentials. This marks the first time that the one seeds in both conferences finished with negative turnover differentials since seeding began in 1975.
Just one of those outlier numbers that doesn't make any sense, because one of the biggest determining factors of winning football games is winning the turnover margin, and this would tell you that sometimes it isn't the end-all be-all.
Well, for Seattle, it's their defense, and for Denver, it's one-score wins.
Yeah,
I mean, their defense obviously is having a big part as well, but
the other thing you can have there, too, is that you could have a game similar to, you know, Sam Darnold on the road at L.A. throws four picks.
Like, and you still win.
It's kind of a wonky number, and it's just, you know, it'll stick out like a sore thumb.
The Bears won the NFC North despite a losing record in division games. They went 2-4. They became the fourth division champ since 1970's merger to have a losing record in those games. Caleb came up 58 yards short of being the first Bears quarterback with 4,000 passing yards. They're still the only remaining franchise to be without one 4,000-yard passer.
Look, he's going to get there at some point, but it's hilarious that stat lives on another year.
58 yards. That's
just
brutal.
One long bomb to oh, just man. Throw one deep. You go long. Look, I think the Packers are going to win that game, but I'm rooting for Chicago. I think Chicago going on a playoff run will be really fun for the NFL.
Carolina became the fifth team since 1970 to win its division despite a losing record, joining the 2010 Seahawks,
yep.
The 2014 Panthers,
yep.
Been here before, 2020 Washington, and 2022 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Additionally, the Panthers are the first team since at least 1990 to clinch a playoff spot in the final week of the season despite losing their final game and finishing with a losing record. Truly historic.
Get them out of here, man. They shouldn't be here.
Not I'm going to laugh if they win. I'm going to laugh so hard.
Not my playoffs. Give me an NFL committee and vote them out.
I'm so anti-Bryce Young. I want them to win. It would be so funny if the Rams lost to the Panthers.
Who is my committee guy? Juracek? Who's my Juracek of the NFL? Get him on with Reese Davis telling me why they don't have the resume to be in.
The Rams were favored prior to losing to the Seahawks in Week 16 to win the Super Bowl. And they enter the playoffs as the second favorites. This is the first time in over 50 years that the top two Super Bowl favorites entering the playoffs reside in the same division.
Yeah, Seahawks and Rams, number one, number
yep.
two.
Yeah. Only two of the last 11 champions. And this one, get a hold of your butts on this one. You ready?
Ready.
You got your butts?
I got my butt.
Only two of the last 11 champions were Super Bowl favorites entering the postseason.
Ooh.
The 2022 Chiefs,
yeah.
The 2016 Patriots. Six of the last eight winners weren't in the top three in the odds entering the playoffs, including the last two champions, both ranking fifth in Super Bowl odds entering the playoffs.
How about that? Goes back to the conversation we had about parity and everybody having a chance.
Don't bet on the favorites.
It's not good if you're Seattle. You don't like that trend right there.
If Matt Stafford, current favorite, wins the MVP, he'll be the first MVP from a non-top two seed team since who?
Oh, God.
You don't like when I throw trivia.
I got no idea, dude. I got no idea.
Adrian Peterson, 2012.
Okay.
It's been that long.
I couldn't have told you what the Vikings did that year. I just remember Peterson coming back off
Drake
the ACL.
May should be the MVP. This is ridiculous. But okay, give it to Stafford.
When did he play somebody, huh? Beat a team with a pulse, Tennessee.
Best teams against the spread this year, Jags, Pats, Rams, Seahawks, all went 12-5. Worst teams against the spread, Bucks, Chiefs,
yep.
Cardinals,
yep.
Ravens. The best over bet team, Cowboys.
Hey-o.
And the best unders every week, the Chiefs.
That's pretty consistent.
Lawrence had 4,007 passing yards on the season. It's his third career season with 4,000 passing yards.
Like, quietly, outside of the dead years, putting up a really good career.
He's had
some really good seasons.
How good the career's been.
It goes up, and you're like, oh my God, he's top five. And then what the hell happened to Trevor Lawrence? And then he just kind of zigs and zags. Maybe they have finally found some consistency.
All right, there you go. Here's your NFL Factoid Tuesday.
Can I give you one more? I got one in my notes,
too. Throw it at me quickly.
If they are to win, it's a big if if they are to win on Sunday night, the Los Angeles Chargers, if they win their wild card game against the Patriots, it will be the worst offensive line to ever win a playoff game since they started tracking offensive line numbers in 2006. The 2011 Giants currently hold the record for the worst O-line to ever win a game, and if the Chargers are to win in New England, they will now take that crown.